If you turn with me now, let's make another point. Let's see what else Jesus said from the cross. Preach to the women for a little bit. Turn over to John 19 and 26. Actually, I'm going to start reading from 25. And it said, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple he said, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. And I think we're seeing Jesus here, he's showing some compassion. Again, while he's going through the worst thing anybody could ever go through, he's taking a minute. He's not dwelling on himself. He's looking to the needs of others. His mama is out here. And I don't know if some of you that are mothers out here, I don't know, I don't have any kids. But if I had any, I can't imagine what it would be like to see my kid with nails in his hands and feet hanging on a cross. And mama, I love you, but I can't honestly tell you that if I was hanging there naked on a cross with nails in my hands and feet, that your welfare would be the top thing on my mind, because I'm a fallible human. I don't know. I wish I could say that. But I think what would be tops on my mind was, how am I going to get down from here? And if I talk to my mama, I say, "Mama, can you, you know, get a nail puller or something? You got a chainsaw, cut the cross down." That would be on my mind. But it wasn't on Jesus. This man's bleeding from his hands and feet. We know that the death that they suffer on a cross was suffocation. So he's suffocating. But yet he sees his mama there. And the top thing on his, one of the top things on his mind is still continuing to work. Is still showing the love. And he never quit from the minute he started to the minute he ended. He never quit caring. And that's what we have to do. We've got to start caring, people. I'm going to tell you, it's a lost world out here around us. And some of them make it awful hard for us to care for them. Some of them, I think, try to make it hard for us to care for them. But Jesus didn't. He never stopped. He continued on. He was looking, while he was dying, he was looking out for the needs of others. She's happy. Having fun. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark 15 and 34. While Jesus is hanging there, he says, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And I think that speaks to one of the biggest fears that any of us ever have, and that's the fear of abandonment. I believe at that very minute when he says, "Why have you abandoned me?" Jesus Christ experienced something that hopefully none of us will ever have to experience. As I believe that minute, he experienced total separation from God, from the Father. At that minute, Jesus Christ experienced a hell on earth. Because for people who are going to hell, they're going to spend eternity in separation from God. And at that minute, I believe Jesus Christ suffered that. When he said, "Why have you forsaken me?" He experienced that abandonment, that total separation from the Father. A lot of psychiatrists and stuff say that one of the biggest fears of mankind, especially of kids, is abandonment. And I remember, Alex, you're 20 now. I guess it's been 17 or 18 years ago. I used to watch Alex when she was little, and when we get along, it's great. So she grew up around me, I grew up around her. She knew how cranky I was, I knew how she was, and it all blended in together. We'd watch Barney together, and everything would be good. This one particular day, there was an incident that came up in our family, and my mama's sister had a little grandson who was a year older than Alex, and she brought him and said, "Can you watch him?" I said, "Yeah, I'll leave him right here. I got Alex here. It'll be fine. They'll play together." They'd been over, played together a million times with his grandma there. Well, let me tell you, this day, the minute the door shut, he experienced total abandonment. Because the waterworks started, he started just squalling. And I didn't know what to do, so I sat down and cried with him. So it gets to the point, you know, and I didn't know what to do. He was experiencing that abandonment, that fear, that he don't know what's going on. All he knows is his comfort is not there. I tried everything I could do. It wasn't enough. I'll never forget, I called, but my sister was in banking school at the time, and she had just left to go. And she had got in Greenville, and she called me, and of course he's squalling in the background. And Alex, who never cries, who to this day has no idea what she was crying about, was crying just as hard as he was. And so my sister called. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, listen." So I just held the phone out. She said, "What's going on?" And I told her. She says, "Man, I'm like 3 hours away from you. I can't help you." So I just hung up. I didn't say bye. My grandmother, who'll be 96 this year, I called her and I asked her, I told her what's going on. Here was her advice. She said, "Boy, don't you know better than to babysit?" I felt the love just flowing from everybody I called, and it went on for hours and hours until they got back and picked him up. And Jesus experienced that. But he experienced it so that we won't have to. Because of his experience and of that separation of the Father from the Father, we don't have to do it. We can be in the Father's presence from right now through everlasting and everlasting. And a great case of this was this morning with Madison. When her mom walked out, you know, she thought she was leaving. She thought she was going to be abandoned. And she was crying. You remember that right before the service. That's a fear that the kids have and that we have. Before God is concerned, we don't have to have that fear. We don't have to be worried that we're going to be abandoned because He'll never leave us. We can leave Him, but He's not going to leave us. We don't have to worry about that fear. We don't ever have to worry about saying, "God, why have you forsaken me?" Because He's not. He's there. Jesus experienced that separation for us. We might have sometime in our lives, some people might have to say, "God, why have I forsaken you?" But He's not going to forsake us. He's our Father. He's with us from now until the end of time. And that's our hope and our prayer. Turn with me. Let's make one last point. Let's turn over to Luke 23 and 43. Jesus is hanging between two thieves on a cross. The most righteous person who's ever walked in the face of the earth is hanging between two thieves, dying. One ridicules him. The other recognizes who he is. He recognizes that he's the Father, that he's Jesus Christ, that he's the Messiah. And Jesus looks at him and he said, "I'll tell you the truth." He asked Jesus, he said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answers him. He says, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus came to seek and save what was lost. Right up to the very end, Jesus never stopped. He kept seeking and saving what was lost. The cross is our remedy. I think I said it earlier in the Sunday school lesson today that in the middle of the New Testament, there's a cross. And without the resurrection, that cross means nothing. But because of the resurrection, that cross means everything, because it means we are not only saved of our sins, but we're saved for eternity. That we'll spend eternity with God for our sins. He never quit working, and we have to do that. Jesus told us in Matthew 28, He says, you'll be my witness. Wrong one, that's Acts. He says, go out, go and make disciples, teaching and preaching and baptizing them in the name of Jesus. And that's what we have to do. We have to make disciples. We can't take our salvation and lock it away in a safe. We have to live a life that we can attract people. We can teach people this gospel. I think it was St. Augustine that one time said, always preach the gospel. And if necessary, use words. So not only are you supposed to stand up and preach the gospel, but we should live the gospel. And if we live the gospel, we're probably going to make more converts by living the gospel than we're ever going to make by preaching the gospel. Because people are going to see what's going on. And they're going to think, you know, they might be onto something over there. We might need to check that out a little closer. But yet we find it so easy to say, well, yeah, I'm saved. I'm saved every Sunday and every Wednesday. I get rejuvenated the next Sunday. And then in between days, we might kind of forget that we were quite as saved as we were last Sunday. And it's easy. We're right here. We're in a comfort zone right here. I'll guarantee you everybody in here, the first sinner who walked through that door, the first unsaved person who walked, because we're all sinners, the first unsaved person who walked through that door, every one of us will be able to share something with them. But what would we share with them in Food Line on Monday morning, or on Wednesday afternoon when we're out on the golf course and we missed putt? Oh, what message are we preaching then? People look at us because we say we're Christians. We're under a finer microscope than the rest of the world. And Jesus was, because He had the world. He was changing history on that cross. He had the world looking at Him. The known world at that time was looking at Him. And He kept right on pushing forward. He didn't look back. He set an example for salvation. The salvation that only comes through Jesus Christ. And we've got to do that. We have got to be willing to teach people. We've got to be willing to talk to people. We've got to be willing to love people. It all starts with loving people. If you can't love them, I don't think you're going to make any progress preaching to them. And sometimes people make it so hard for us to love them. And that should make it even more so for us. We should rise to the challenge and even try harder to love them. I think Jesus did. I know some of the things I've done in my life, Jesus probably had to try hard sometimes to love Him. But He does. And I know He does because the Bible tells me so. And so in closing, let's take as we leave this week. Did I leave my piano player? That's right here. I was usually looking at this, Betty. As we leave this week, let's go out and let's live the crosswords. Let's don't just fill them out in the New York Times on Monday morning or the Virginian Pilot on Monday morning. I'm kind of backsliding now. I can't get through any of them but the ones that come in the Daily Advance now, so I'm not as good as they used to be. But let's live the crosswords. Let's go out and be willing to forgive people. I know sometimes it's hard, but let's do it. Jesus could do it on a cross. He could forgive folks. And he told us, He said, you've got to forgive. Let's go out and love people, no matter what the conditions we're in. No matter if we're in the best of conditions, it's always easier to love people when things are going our way. But let's go out and love people when things aren't going our way. Let's try to do that. Notice I'm saying us. And, I mean, we've got to do it. It's up to us. He left that charge with us. When He left here, we are to finish His work. He said His was finished. He did what He had to come do. He put it on us. And we have to remember that the sin, our continual sin, separates us from God. And we have to get it out of our lives. And the cross is the remedy for that sin. And we've got to be willing to tell people about that cross. We've got to be able to lead people to it. It's our job. It won't get us in heaven because we can't work our way there. But because we're going to heaven, we should want everybody to be on that bus with us. We should be helping them buy their ticket right now. Pray with me. Father,